Good morning. You're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Kermit Baker, who's an economist with the American Institute of Architecture. Kermit, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Kemp. Thank you.
Good to be with you. It's been a little while. We talked, I think, in late July. Since then, the August Architectural Billing Index has come out. It was another good report. It was at 53.8%, which is well over 50, as you always remind me. Over 50 is good. So I think you were telling us in this report that it has improved 11 out of the last 12 reports.
Yeah, actually, a little update, 12 out of the last 13. So we've got this string intact, which is certainly encouraging. I think you're exactly right, Kemp, that we look at the number and the magnitude of the number, and 50 is sort of the break-even. 50 means that architecture firms are flat in terms of their design billings, and anything above 50 indicates growth, and a higher number means stronger growth. So, we're moving in the right direction in terms of the sort of acceleration here. We're moving in the right direction in terms of the duration that we've seen good positive numbers. When we've done analysis of that number, we've discovered that design activity leads construction activity by about 9 to 12 months. So with effectively a year's worth of positive numbers, we're expecting the construction numbers to begin to pick up recently. And obviously they have in the residential sector already. We're now almost 2 years into a single family recovery, and more than that into a multifamily recovery. But we're starting to see the commercial industrial numbers, construction numbers, pick up a little bit too. And that's sort of reflecting what we've seen in our billings index. And the last piece to fall would be the institutional market, education, healthcare, government facilities, things like that. And those numbers have been positive recently also, but they've been much lower. We're talking about numbers really barely above 50, and so hasn't quite been enough to prompt an upturn in that sector, but we're hopeful that one will be coming fairly soon.
So as we look at those vertical sectors, just to go into a little bit more depth, on the positive side where we're seeing, I think, more growth is obviously corporate, healthcare, hospitality, and retail. And then on the flatter to potentially even continuing to be down is government institutional. And where does education fall in there?
Education, healthcare are the two biggest pieces of the institutional sector. Those two account for 2/3 of that total. So those are very much in that sector and still sort of trying to get their sea legs, as it were, and launch a stronger recovery.
All right. So we've got, just a summary of what you just said, housing has been ramping up for 2 years. We're starting to see a lot of the advance indicators for commercial, seeing strong numbers there, which means that it's going to catch and we'll probably start to feel it in the flooring business here fairly soon. I guess the question you have to ask is, what's going on in Washington right now? Do you think that's going to slow this momentum, and what effect might it have?
Well, it's certainly a cause for concern, Kemp. I think construction is generally not a sector that's immediately affected either by the government shutdown or the threat of not raising the debt ceiling. But both of those certainly have the potential to have a real serious toll on the broader economy. And if that's true, then construction will suffer. So let's just keep our fingers crossed that things get resolved quickly and not too much lasting damage has been done. Like I said, I don't think we've, in this industry, have seen much directly so far, but we certainly are at risk for a turnaround if this were to continue too much longer.
Most people that know you do focus with these Harvard economists. You focus both on the Joint Center for Housing Studies and with the American Institute of Architecture. I was going to just share some numbers with you that are very interesting. Get your comment on this. The floor covering industry in the last 2 or 3 months has announced some major, major capital investments, which I think is, surprising, actually. Just to give you some numbers real quick. Mohawk's announced $185 million worth of expansion. Shaw, $225 million. Engineered Floors, over the course of the next 4 years, $450 million. Armstrong, $40 million. Mannington, $50 million in Georgia. Matex, a black backing company, $60 million. I mean, you add all that up, and it's well over $1 billion worth of expansion. So I guess they're expecting this to be a growth area for a while.
You know, I hadn't heard those numbers, Kemp, and those are, as you say, very encouraging. I think certainly we've gone through many years, 5-6 years, with very little investment because there wasn't need for new capacity. So I think you're exactly right that this is the industry saying, you know, we think a sustainable recovery is here to stay, and we're going to need more production to accommodate that growth. So that looks like they're responding very positively to some stronger signals that we're seeing out in the marketplace now.
Yeah. You know, one of the big factors here is onshoring or moving manufacturing back. You look at more sectors than I do. That's a trend that's really across the board right now, isn't it?
It is across the board. You know, I think our manufacturing sector is more competitive. You know, having a high unemployment rate unfortunately helps that to some extent. But I think, you know, something we haven't even talked much about, Kemp, is really the changing energy profile, just the increase in domestic energy production, both natural gas and oil, generally through hydraulic fracturing. That's just dramatically changing the calculus in terms of, you know, production domestically. There was a report that came out almost a year ago now from the International Energy Administration that said that the U.S. was projected to be the largest oil producer in the world by 2020, so surpassing Saudi Arabia. Sometime next decade, we should become energy independent, and by 2030, the U.S. projected to be a net oil exporter. And so that energy production really dramatically changes the manufacturing calculus, the you know, the calculus of where you do your production, because energy is the very, very significant cost in terms of manufacturing. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think things are really changing pretty significantly over the last few years.
I was just in Italy a couple of weeks ago. When you start talking about energy and you start looking at the flooring sectors, one of the biggest consumers of energy in the manufacturing process is ceramic tile, because, you know, tile is basically baked earth. They really have to heat that up a lot, and they use natural gas to do it. And the delta between the cost of energy in Italy and the cost of energy here in the manufacturing process is a 70% difference.
Yep. I hadn't heard that, but makes sense, and probably will grow even larger, I think, given some of the production capacity we're seeing come online in the U.S.
Before we end up, just to the last little comment, you wrote an article recently talking about spending growth that's going to affect the commercial market, and you were calling for a 7.6% overall growth in spending next year. So that's pretty aggressive, isn't it?
That's overall non-residential, and I believe the commercial part of that, you know, offices, retail, hotels, even above that, approaching double-digit, Kemp. Yeah, that's a good number. You know, I think we need to put that in perspective. You know, the decline we've seen in construction activity is far in excess of this. I mean, we were down 50-60% from peak to trough during the downturn, and so I think we'd expect to see some reasonable numbers coming from this upturn. You know, quite frankly, I would have thought numbers might even be stronger than this, and I think we would have historically expected numbers to be stronger than this. But, you know, it looks like we'll see modest growth in 2013 overall. And as you have reported there from our consensus forecast, mid-single digits next year, a little bit stronger on the commercial industrial side, a little bit weaker on the institutional side. And barring a unforeseen problems, you know, that acceleration should continue into 2015 also. So I think we've got, you know, several years ahead of us of hopefully good, strong, steady growth.
You know, I have the numbers just in front of me, and I'll just throw them out real quick. You say the strongest sectors are hotel up 15%, retail up almost 12%, office up almost 10%, healthcare 7.7%, and amusement and recreation up almost 7%.
So. Yep. So they're coming along. You know, private sector stuff first. Nonprofit and public tends to lag a little bit, both on the upside and the downside. But yeah, really all sectors in the economy, in the construction sector, are looking better moving forward.
We just need for Washington to get out of the way, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you can take care of that, Kemp, we'll all be appreciative.
All right, Kermit. Thanks for spending time with us again. Been talking to Kermit Baker, an economist with the American Institute of Architecture. And you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.